Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And we stopped at verse 32 last time, so we'll begin at verse 33. Hebrews 11, 33. All right, let's begin reading verse 33, 34, and 35, if we can together, starting at verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. All right, verse number 33, who through faith. What is characteristic of this chapter 11 throughout?
Faith.
Faith, that's right. All is a faith chapter. All is by faith, by faith, by faith. I remember last week we talked in verse 32 about Barak and Jephthah and Samuel and David, the prophets, and it tells what they did. Subdued kingdoms. What would that be involved with? Subdued kingdoms.
What's subdued mean? Take over?
All right, take over, brought under bondage. Made a subjection to, yes?
They rolled over them.
Yes, Tammy?
Well, during the time of the judges, which a lot of these are, the previous verse, the different pagan nations were in control of Israel for a period of time until the judges rose up and then put those nations down.
All right. What did God want, first of all, the Israelites to do when they came into the promised land of the Canaan? What did he want them to do?
Drive out the inhabitants.
All the Canaanite nations, Hittites, Perizzites, Jebusites, did they obey God? Did they drive them all up?
No.
So they were there. So there's a battle, a lot of battles. So they said, what about David? Did he fight battles also? And the kings of Israel, they did, didn't they? And all these different kings, Hezekiah, they always had battles. So subdued kingdoms. What's this next phrase? Wrought righteousness. What does that mean? Wrought righteousness. Were some of them righteous? Yeah, were all of them righteous? No, they were not. A lot of them were unrighteous. But many of them wrought righteousness. Then obtained promises. What would that refer back to?
You know,
God
gave them promises.
My God gave them promises. What was the first one that had the promise, if you remember?
Abraham.
Of any, well, Abraham, even before Abraham. What did God say in Genesis 3?
Thy seed.
I will put enmity between. Bruise the head. The question is here. So it was a promise. But Abraham, well, let's go with Abraham's promise. What did God promise Abraham?
It would be man's. His offspring would be like the stars
in
the sky,
sand of the sea. All right, what else?
Land and the sea.
Land and the sea.
A seed,
absolutely. And in singular, Galatians 3:16 says, not as the seed is of many, but as of one, thy seed was
Christ,
the Lord Jesus Christ. What did God promise Abraham when he... Well, first of all, what command did God give Abraham?
To leave
his Ur of the Chaldees where he was born and go to what land? Did he specify the land? Did he name it?
No,
land that I will show thee. And did he obey?
Yes.
Yes, he did. And so God promised him, did God fulfill his promise?
Yes.
He took him to the land, he protected him until he got there. So obtained promises. Stopped the mouths of lions. Who would that be?
Daniel,
he certainly did. What was Daniel's reason for putting him into the den of lions? Why did he get thrown in?
He prayed to God three times a day.
He prayed to God three times. What was wrong with that, according to the king?
It was the law.
What did the law say? What did they put?
Any man prays any other person or any god other than thou, O king,
okay,
should be thrown into the den of lions.
Ask any petition, either God or any man, into the den of lions. Did that stop Daniel from praying?
No.
What did he do? And where did he do it?
He continued as always.
As always?
He prayed three times a day as a fourth time.
As a fourth time.
And he was facing Jerusalem and with his window open.
His window was open. So was who did he fear most, the king or the Lord?
The Lord.
The Lord most. And so he wanted to be obedient to the Lord. So when the king, now did the king really want to make this decree?
No.
I think it's, who was it that put it up to, the king? Who suggested it?
His advisors.
Remember, he had three presidents, who raised was Daniel and so on. But some of these underlings said, the only way they get rid of Daniel was how?
Trick him.
Something against the law of his God. They knew him well enough. He followed that Bible, that the Lord's word just exactly. Yeah,
I don't think the king knew what was up. He just was flattered, probably. And I don't think he had the faintest idea they were talking about Daniel.
I agree. He didn't have the faintest idea to talk about Daniel. In fact, when push came to shove, he had to put Daniel in the alliance, was he happy or sad?
He was sad.
What did he do the next day?
Got up early.
He got up early? Did he sleep much that night?
No,
he did not sleep. And what did he say at the dinner line?
Oh, Daniel.
Oh, Daniel, you stole something. What did he say?
Did
that
God?
Did God deliver you from the life? He talked to Daniel. He said, if he's alive, normally if you go into a den of lions, what would happen to you?
He'd
be dead. So the king has faith in Daniel's not apparently. Yes.
It's your saying, Pastor Wade, that he said, Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee.
That's interesting. Is that after then?
Yes, that's when the king.
That was before.
Oh, before.
When they were,
before. That's good.
That's when the king spake.
So tell me what he said in chapter 6 after the den.
And the stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then Daniel said unto the king, O kings, live forever.
I tell you, this king has faith in Daniel's God. Otherwise, would you talk to him? Would you talk to a dead man? I don't think any of us talk to a dead man or woman.
But before it happened, like Andrew said,
yeah,
he was already saying that God was going to deliver.
God is going to deliver. So this king really, he was a friend of Daniel. And after it came out, he was greatly appreciative of Daniel's ministry. So stop the mouth of Daniel, of lions. Do you think any others that stopped the mouth of Daniel? Yeah,
yes, there was at least two that I think of. David, when he was still a little boy tending sheep, mm-hmm. he recalled an occasion where a lion grabbed one of the sheep, mm-hmm. and he grabbed the lion by the beard and slew him, mm-hmm. and rescued the sheep. And then there's another story about Gideon. Slew the lion, and he came back a couple of days later, and the carcass, there was a honeybee's finger attached to the carcass.
Yes, and he made that little lion, that riddle.
Can I go back to the last verse?
Yes, yes.
Because I think this is important. Mm-hmm. About Abraham. Mm-hmm. And you know, Paul refers to Abraham in Romans 3, I believe mm-hmm. it is, and he said the faith, Abraham's faith, was counted to him for righteousness. And that's for us. Our faith, not our works. Our faith is counted for righteousness in the sight of God.
Right. That's very good. Also, in the book of Romans, I believe it is, Paul talked about, he delivered me out of the lion's mouth. Now, I don't know exactly what he referred to. What did the Romans do to Christians in the early days?
It was
a lion, didn't they? Or into the legend's arena.
In the theater, the arena,
to fight with the lions. The lion. Now, whether that was a true, literal thing that delivered them or not, but lions are mentioned. What is the Lord Jesus' other name? The Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Powerful, Lion of the Tribe of Judah, and he will rule and reign for 1,000 years as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So, interesting, stop the mouths. Right now, with the lion, Yvonne?
What's that verse we used to know? And she delivered me out of the hand of the paw of the lion. We used to know that one.
Delivered me out of the hand of the paw of the lion. That's it. First Samuel 17. That's right.
We used to know that one, remember?
He that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, paw of the bear, he'll deliver me out of the hand of this listening.
I know that.
Pardon me?
I think we just looked at it.
Yeah, we looked at that just
last week.
Last week, but yes. And so God did deliver, and because God, oh yes.
I'm just saying, as you're talking about Daniel, being, you know, being referred to in Hebrew, being faithful and men of faith. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 4, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him.
Yes, so he was faithful to the Lord, wasn't he? Absolutely. Yeah. Very good. I don't remember what my last question was. I was on top of it and forgot about it. But on Daniel and all these things, stop the mouths of lions. Oh, here's a question. Did God always deliver his people?
Yeah.
He did not always deliver, but in some cases he did. What about the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? What was the fate that they were going to have?
Next verse.
Well, they were
fiery furnace. Oh, okay. Is that next verse? Oh, fire, yeah, question, okay. But even before we got there, talk about deliverance of God, the fiery furnace, what was their sin? Why did they have to be thrown into the fire furnace?
The image.
What was the signal that everyone that was there in the presence, this huge image, what was the signal that everyone bowed down?
The trumpet,
the music, all kinds of music. Crazy music. But about a What did these three Hebrew children do at that music?
They just kept standing.
And the question was asked, why did you do this? And so the command was to do what for them?
Throw them into the fiery furnace.
The fiery furnace. In fact, they heated so many times hotter. Seven times hotter. He's thrown in. That's in verse 3, for quench the violence of fire. What did the three say to the king? What did the three Hebrew children?
And if God would save them, he would save them. If not, they would then.
That's exactly right. Said, if our God is able to deliver us, but we nevertheless, whether he delivers us or not, we will not bow down to that image. And so they had a tremendous faith in the power of God. Now, it could be he wouldn't deliver, but he wouldn't. Now, what happened when they threw these three in?
The ones that threw them in were killed.
They were killed. And slaughtered, and then when they walked, was it?
There was a fourth.
Yes, and they looked in there. What does it say about that fourth one?
Likeness of the Son of Man.
Like unto the Son of Man.
Or Son of God.
Son of God. Like unto the Son of God. All right, like unto the Son of God. Who do you think that was?
Jesus.
Lord Jesus Christ in Christophany, pre-incarnate Savior. There. And now, what does happen usually when you get into a burning fiery furnace? What happens to your clothing?
Burns up, smells like smoke.
What happened to their clothes?
Nothing.
Not even the smells were. They came out. Who was the one that delivered these three?
Jesus
Christ, the Son of God. What did the new version say about the Son of God? Of that verse? How did they change it? How did the new version change it?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, a son of the God. See, that's all it says. Son of the God. No, not the Son of God.
Oh.
And they change the whole thing because they don't believe in the miracle, the deliverance. Now was the fire real?
Yes.
How do we know it was real?
Because it killed
us. It killed the ones who were throwing him in. Were the lions real?
Yes.
How do we know they were real? The
Bible says they were real.
Yeah, and what happened? What happened to the ones?
They killed us that broke the law.
Before they even hit the bottom.
What, the ones that threw them in, right?
Yeah.
People, is that right?
No, the ones that made the law. They wrote it.
The ones that wrote the law, they threw into the den of lions?
Yes.
Who did they throw in?
I think so.
Daniel 6, what do we got?
The men and their families.
Of whom? Of which men?
Of the men that wanted to get rid of Daniel.
The ones that broke the law.
Okay, what did they do? They said, bring those men. Is that what they said?
I forgot that.
Daniel 6.
Tell me what it said. Bring those men?
Yes. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives.
The lions
had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces wherever they came at the bottom of the den.
So were these real lions?
Yeah.
Were they able to kill people and break bones? Yes, they were. It proved it. Now, the reason, why do you think the reason is the women and children, in addition to the men, were in there?
I don't know.
What is the reason?
They must agree with their husband.
All right. What does conspiracy mean? conspiracy. Right. Yeah. Murder, conspiracy to steal.
A plan.
They're in on it. Apparently, they went along with it. Remember, there's another instance of that. Remember Aiken, who stole the money?
Mm-hmm.
And the whole of the family was right there. They had the money. Probably the family knew about the money. They were part of the thing and part of the plan and said, we're just as guilty as the one that actually did the stealing. So apparently these others were... That's the way the Lord works. He doesn't do anything illegal. You're wrong. And?
It reminds me of how, Jezebel was telling Ahab to do different things. She, he was just sort of sulking about not being able to have Naboth's vineyard, but Jezebel did all this planning so he could get it. And then also I think Haman's wife was telling him to build the gallows and so forth. And so on.
So there were conspiracies and ones that tell the ones to do it. We don't know the details, but I'm sure that was the situation. And these people were very happy. Eddie, you got something?
No.
Oh, okay. Put your hand. All right. So they quenched the violence of fire. What about this next one in verse 34? Escaped the edge of the sword.
Where are we now?
Verse 11:34 of Hebrews. Okay. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call. Say hello if you can. I know we're having some trouble with our internet at this time. We hope we work it out for this next week. Maybe nobody can hear us out there, but if you can, give us a call or email. 856-261-9018 is the phone. Or 856-261-9018. All right, in verse 34, they escaped the edge of the sword. Anybody that did that?
How about the soldiers who were with Gideon?
All right.
And God killed off their enemies with just a handful of people.
Yes, that'd be good, wouldn't it? How many did he get down to? How many men?
300.
That's right. He had three different companies, 100 each, and they surrounded the camp of the Philistines, I guess it's right. And they thought that something was fighting against, they fought against each other.
That's working all right.
Yes, hello.
Hello?
Yeah, who's this?
Hey, this is George Harris.
Oh, George, yes. How you doing, George? Yes. Are you listening to us?
Right, then,
yes. Yeah, I just want to show Dr. Wick that my family and I listen.
Good.
We listened to him this morning on the screen in our house, and it was very clear.
Good. How was he? Was he all right?
Yes, it was very clear.
Praise the Lord. I'll tell him that. Praise the Lord, sir. Listen, we continue to pray for you. I hope everything worked out with you for that other situation.
Thank you.
God bless you, George.
And now I'm watching
the power channel
also.
Good. Praise the Lord. We're going to wave to you now. You ready to wave us? Okay, here we go. Thanks, George. Wave to George Harris over in Philadelphia. Okay, he can see us over there. All right, thank you. George Harris, we knew him from Liberia and West Africa.
Wow.
We've been three different times over there. And very faithful, loves the Lord. And so I'm glad you're watching, George. That's wonderful, isn't it? So you see, some people are still getting through. Now, some are blocked. There's some kind of a virus that's not getting through to some people. Anna.
Well, what about Peter when, Herod put James, well, he beheaded James, and then he put Peter in prison. Mm-hmm. So, but then the angel came and got Peter out.
Mm-hmm. So he escaped the edge of the sword that way, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Peter, absolutely. Peter did.
What are some more?
I've got some others.
How about when, was it Jerusalem that was under siege? Mm-hmm. And they were on the wall and, he said, don't speak in Hebrew. Who is it, Sennacherib?
Oh, yes. That was Hezekiah was there.
Oh, okay.
Sennacherib was against him.
Against him, yeah. And didn't God take care of the enemy?
He slew all that whole crowd. They went back to their land. So, yes.
Rich. He delivered Samson.
Yes, he delivered Samson. He certainly did.
When Samson took the jawbone of an ass and killed all those things.
Yes, they could have sort of escaped the edge of the sword. They could have killed him with a sword. That's very good. Yeah, Rich,
David was continually escaping the edge of Saul's sword.
Yes,
Saul was first.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
Definitely to kill him.
Absolutely. And did the Lord deliver David?
Yes.
Did David want to kill Saul?
No.
Yes. How do we know that?
There were two times.
What's one time?
Well, he was in the cave.
Saul was asleep, and David was advised where he was.
Mm-hmm.
He went to him. He could have killed him right there in his sleep, but instead he cut a patch of his garment off and disappeared.
That's right. There's another part too, isn't there? Another time.
Well, that was the time when he was in the cave. Saul was asleep in the cave.
But there's another time he was somewhere else.
What did he say? God forbid that I should touch the anointed of the Lord.
There were both times when Saul was
there's another time, too. Another time,
he took a spear.
Yeah, Dan had something. A spear, right? Dan, go ahead.
A spear and then after they were on the other side down the valley or on the other side of the plateau, David called Abner and told Abner how horrible a job he was doing. You know, because he had the spear, took the spear.
Took David's spear.
Well, no, a classic example is when he went against the Goliath.
Goliath.
Goliath had a sword.
He had a big one. Big sword. That's very good.
That's
going to
take
Tammy, I mean Anna.
So when David took Saul's spear and the cross, Abner said, basically, hey, I have you. I saw a spear here. I could have killed him. What are you doing sleeping and not instead of protecting your king?
Yes, that was another instance. Absolutely right. So what did Yvonne?
Jacob escaped the edge of the sword when Esau was prepared to kill him.
That's right.
But God changed his mind.
Why did Esau want to kill his brother Jacob?
Because he's mad at him. After all those years.
So his birthright, for his blessing. And what does the mama say to Jacob?
Run away.
Go to my brother Laban.
Go to my brother Laban.
Oh, really? Jacob did it on his own.
The father's lust for the food, the certain food, even though Rebecca knew, God had already told Rebecca that Jacob was going to be the one of promise.
The more promise on that. The oldest will serve the younger. That happened there, didn't it? So did Jacob believe Isaac believed Jacob and said this is Esau? Did he believe him? Isaac believe it was
Jacob? He wondered about it.
He said it's a did he have any questions?
Esau,
you mean? Yeah, did he think it was Esau?
Not. He wasn't sure. But then when he felt her, then he...
What did he say about the voice?
It sounded like Jacob.
It wasn't Jacob, but the fur, because the mother had the fur.
Like Esau.
Yes, Henry.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Sorry.
There were other times in Elisha's time when there was going to be a famine, and there were four leprous men, and the men said, well, if we go into the city, then there will be a famine, we'll die there, but if we just stay outside the city at the gate, we'll die. And so they said that they would rather die at the hands of the Syrians if they fell into the Syrians. And so then they said, well, if the Syrians save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die. They rose up at twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians, and God had said that he would send a noise to frighten them, and there was no man there when they went into the camp, for the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and the noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp, as it was, and fled for their life.
So those people escaped the balance of the sword, didn't they? Anna?
Isn't that a rather amusing situation? They're running away from a sound.
From a sound.
Well, because there was really...
Yeah, the,
it's like you would have looked down, and you would have,
Well, sometimes a noise looks like a noise of battle and alarm.
But what I'm saying is, it's funny.
It's funny that there were humorous. It's humorous silence.
They're running
people.
Away in such fear.
It is a strange thing. But sometimes sounds and sights are not real, but people are afraid of them, right?
Yeah.
Yes, Eddie?
How about Samson?
Okay.
Was he part of one of the escape from
them? Yes, he... He escaped the edge of the sword. They could have killed him if they put out his eyes instead.
And the hair, too, right?
Yeah, they cut off his hair. The wife got him to lie about that. Or first of all, tell the truth after three lies, I guess.
And then he rode back and got the strength
back. And then
she was a liar,
said, show me the pillars of this big building where the Philistines were. And so he brought them all down. They could have killed him, so he did escape the sword from that sense. Boy, they could have slaughtered him.
Any others? They wanted him to suffer.
They wanted him to suffer.
Yeah.
So they blinded him.
They did it out of spite because he'd done so much damage to the Philistines.
Yes. Remember, he killed the ones to get the foreskins of the Philistines and kill the foxes, all kinds of things. He did a lot of them. And he escaped from the foxes. What did he want? How many foxes did he want? Had to get the so many tails of the foxes, remember, to give to him?
200.
200?
Answer the riddle.
Answer this riddle. So anyway, he has a real problem, Samson did, but women were one of his chief problems, weren't they? He had one, two, at least three of them, I guess.
And the wrong women.
The wrong women, absolutely. All right, any other on escaping the violence from the edge of the sword? Yes,
there was a time when the Lord killed the 185,000, and it looked like a sea of blood that they didn't attack.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so God saved people from that army. Yeah.
Yes, that army was saved that violence of the sword to Eddie and then Bob. But Eddie.
Is she done?
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean by the sword? I mean,
she's
are you talking about deliverance of a sword or any kind of deliverance?
Any kind of deliverance.
What about Moses?
Moses was spared, wasn't he?
And he was delivered from the Red Sea.
That's right. Then he was delivered from the bull rushes. They could have slaughtered. What did the king say to all the males?
Pharaoh. Wasn't it Pharaoh?
Well, Pharaoh. What did Pharaoh the king say?
I don't remember.
To the males.
Kill him.
Kill all the males. That's right. Dan?
John, apostle. He's the only apostle to die of natural death, we believe.
Yes. The rest of them has very serious death. Yvonne?
Jesus, when he was a baby, he was delivered.
Yes.
With all the babies, all the boy babies in that area.
What was the year range?
Two.
From two and younger, they were being slaughtered. Were they all slaughtered?
Yes.
Except
the Lord.
Except Moses, too.
Moses was spared, that's right.
Two babies were delivered,
Moses and the Lord Jesus Christ were delivered from that. Yes.
Yes, I was spared from the sword of sin.
Yeah?
By Jesus Christ.
By Jesus Christ. That's good. That's a good deliverance.
That's my greatest delivery.
Yes. When the train gets back, let me know.
Okay.
anything else on the edge of the sword?
Pastor, if I might.
Sure.
All these stories remind me of things aren't always how they appear.
Yes.
And that reminds me of a guy that needed a job one time and saw an ad in the paper that the zoo was hiring. Mm-hmm. So he went down and they said, yeah, we'll hire you. Our gorilla died and we have a costume. The kids really miss him. If you'll get in that costume, you have a job.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, it's a job, so he did it. The gatekeeper the next day said, look, you got to move around a little.
Mm-hmm.
The kids are sad. So he started moving around and he was swinging from the tree in there, the artificial tree. And boy, he really got into it. And all of a sudden, while he was swinging, the branch broke and he went up over the barrier and down in the lion's cage.
Yeah.
He looked at the lion looked at him. Oh, what's he going to do? The lion stood up. Started walking toward him. He said, help, help! The lion said, shut up, you idiot. You'll get us both fired.
He escaped the edge of the sword.
That's good. Things always aren't how they appear.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Eddie, you got your train of thought back?
Yeah.
Okay.
What were the three people you mentioned? Was it Sham?
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Is that it?
That one? Okay, I thought you said Sham, Ham, and Japheth.
Oh, Sham, Ham, and Japheth. Yeah, those are the three sons of Noah.
I was thinking about Noah.
They escaped the water, didn't they? The flood. Because they went in the ark. That's right. Any others on the sword? All right. This is now the early Christians. What were they faced with? And what was their decision? And who made what decision? And why? What was the result of the decision they made? Nero and the others, the Roman governments, what was happening to the early Christians, first century?
They were eaten by lions.
Some were sent to the lions.
Stakes.
Some to the stake. Some were burned with fire.
To fight
crucified. Off of the head.
Was crucified. It?
Crucified, yes. And some with heads chopped off. What was the question that the Roman government would ask the early Christians?
Sacrifice
the
emperor.
What was that?
Asking to sacrifice the emperor.
Maybe sacrifice the emperor, I guess.
Did they denounce the Lord Jesus Christ?
Others, who are you going to worship? The emperor, who's God?
Yeah.
The Lord Jesus Christ is God. And what decision did they make? Did some make one, some make another decision?
Probably.
That's right. What decision did some make and what decision did the others make?
I think many of them just said they would rather serve God and do, you know.
Serve God, the Lord Jesus Christ? What happened to them?
Well, they were burned and killed.
They were burned, killed, slaughtered, offered heads, whatever, everything. Crucified. But what about the ones that said, we worship the governor? What happened to them? We worship the emperor. What happened to them?
I don't know. They'd be allowed to live.
They'd be allowed to live. They went right along with it, and no problem. All right, so
they were unsaved, really. If they were denying Christ,
like,
they were never really Christians
like
to begin
just,
with.
We got Christians today that name the name but are not genuine today.
Yeah,
yeah, a lot of them. They say, oh, I'm this, I'm that, but as Rich said, things are not always as they appear.
Mm-hmm. Some people believe that things are afraid.
It's possible. It's possible for the fear of it. Yes,
ma'am? There was someone during Tyndale's time, I don't remember who it was, but he denied the Lord because he was faced with death, but then later he realized his sin and he put his hand in first.
Archbishop Cranmer.
Archbishop Cranmer?
Thank you.
Put his hand in first?
In the flame first. When he actually was put to death later on then. So, I mean, there were people who at the time weren't ready for the cross that, you know, they would have to face with a, you know, burning at the stake. But then later, they understood their sin and their error.
But I think everyone in this room and others listening to us by the internet will have to make a decision maybe someday when someone asks us, do we stand for the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and Redeemer, or do you want to renounce Him? Those who want to stand down this side of the room, those who want to renounce on this side of the room. Ones that renounce Him, they're spared. Ones that stand for Him, slaughtered. So we may have to make that same decision. Who knows? Are you ready to make it? Everybody's going to have to decide, maybe, who knows? We're not sure, but maybe we might have to make it. Who knows whether we will or not? But if we do, are you ready? Devon?
Can she tell us more about Archbishop Cranmer, who he was?
Anna, the Cranmer story.
The story, if you want to, well, he was like, okay, so it was Henry VIII, right? And Henry VIII got upset with Rome because they wouldn't let him get a divorce.
All right.
So he broke out from Rome, which, anyway, then his son, Edward VI, was actually probably a genuine believer, whereas Henry VIII, I wouldn't say that he was, especially since he was anti-Tyndale. Now, Edward VI has been sometimes called the British Josiah. Anyway, one of the people that was influential in teaching and bringing up Edward VI, because he was very young, he was like a child when he became king, like six or something. Archbishop Cranmer, was influential in teaching Edward VI, and so he was like part of the English Reformation, right? Say, Reformation in England, and then Edward VI died without any heirs. So, see, according to Henry VIII's will, Edward the Edward was supposed to become king after him. And if Edward died without any children, then Mary was to become queen. And if she died without any children, Elizabeth was supposed to become queen. But of course, but Mary was Catholic, so they tried to avoid her from becoming queen by making someone else queen, Lady Jane Grey, but that didn't work out. Anyway, but so Mary became queen, and then she let all her, she was persecuting the Protestants. And
is she called Bloody Mary?
Yes, and so, anyway, so Cranmer was one of the people that died then.
Oh, under Bloody Mary.
Under Bloody Mary.
She had him killed.
For the French, she liked to use minced toast. We call her that, yes.
She was one of the three. No, he was one of the three mice. Never mind.
Three blind mice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Three blind mice.
Yes, sure.
Was she also called Mary, Queen of Scots?
No, different Mary.
Different Mary.
That was
okay.
a cousin.
Okay, well, thank you, Anna, for that Cranmer story.
That's nice. I like them.
And by the way, speaking of Wycliffe and others that wrote Bibles, what happened to them?
A lot of them were killed.
That's right. They were put to death, were they? And their bodies were...
Wasn't he dug up?
Dug up and burned. Wycliffe.
Dug up.
I can't remember. Did he die naturally or?
Yes.
And then they persecuted the dead body.
The dead body. It was terrible the way they did. Any others on the escape the edge of the sword? All right, let's go to this next one in verse 34. Out of weakness were made strong. Anybody fit into that picture?
Samson, and with that, the end of his life, when he put his hands on the pillar, and he was had his eyes cut out, and when he put his hands on the pillar, asked God that the Philistines would be killed, and 3,000 were killed when he pushed the pillars down. More were killed in his death than in his life.
And you pray just this once, give me the strength there. Okay,
Sarah. She asked for strength to conceive and bear a child and deliver it.
Yes, and the Lord answered that for Anna.
Elijah, when he was running from Jezebel, he was given the meal. He wanted to give up and just die, but then the Lord gave him a meal, and he was able to go in the strength of that meal for 40 days.
Mm-hmm.
Some meal.
Well, it wouldn't be in the context probably of this letter, but the Apostle Paul.
Mm-hmm. Out of weakness or strong.
Yes.
What malady or sickness or illness did Paul have?
His eyesight.
Thorn in the flesh. Maybe his eyes. We're not sure. Maybe it was a speech impediment. Whatever it was, a thorn in the flesh. So what did he say about that? What did he want to do about that?
The Lord
removed
it from me.
Ask the Lord to remove it. Once? Only ask him once?
Three times.
Right? Did the Lord remove it?
No.
No. What did the Lord say?
My grace is sufficient.
My grace is sufficient. So what did Paul say when that was the answer?
Yeah,
I'm a glory man for me. That?
The power of Christ
may rest upon me. Is it? So out of weakness was made strong.
About Moses when the Lord called him to go back to Egypt?
Yeah.
And he didn't want to go. He was afraid to go.
He was afraid? Who am I? And thought, and I can't speak.
That's right.
What did the Lord say to that?
I'll give you the words.
Give you the words, and also
give
your brother Aaron, and both of you work together. So weakness was made strong. What does it say in Romans 8:18? See, that's something to do with the suffering of the present time, not worthy to be compared with the glory shall be revealed. That's 8:18 of Romans. But there's another section there in Romans about being strong in the power of the Lord. That's Ephesians 6, is it not? Be strong in the Lord's might. Be strong in the Lord.
Strengthen
me. Philippians 4:13. All these things are possible.
Elizabeth, she was older and God
gave her strength. Yes. Elizabeth was John the
Baptist's
mother?
Yeah.
Yeah. She was given strength to conceive seed.
Right.
She did.
It'd be like
busting it. Right. Are any of the Christians, for example, who are very sick and feeble in hospital beds, are they able to be strong in the Lord even though weak in body?
Yes.
Yes, they can. And I've visited several, and I know that this is the case. A lot of us who are healthy in our bodies, maybe weak spiritually, but some of these old saints were sick in bed, but they're still strong in the Lord until the Lord takes them home. I don't understand it. I trust that you and I will be that way when we go on our deathbeds also, strong in the Lord, no matter how weak we are in our body. But this is interesting, this little phrase. Why does it say, out of weakness were made strong? Why does it say that? Out of weakness were made strong.
Power of God.
We can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He makes us strong. And so this is very important. If we think we're strong, what does that do to us?
Makes us weak.
Sometimes it makes us weak. If we have an egotism among us that thinks we're the best of all, we're just proud and arrogant, sometimes we're weak spiritually out of weakness. What is humility?
Dependence upon God.
What is it?
A dependence upon God.
Dependence on God is part of it. What else?
Not thinking too highly of yourself, I guess.
Remember the lady or the man, I don't know which it was, that said, I'm humble and proud of it. Remember that? I'm humble and proud. That's not humility. But this is sort of weakness, see, weakness. Yes.
Humble yourself on the mighty hand of God and He will lift you up.
He will lift you up.
Okay. Remember that and I hear you how they sang that.
Oh yeah, they sang that song quite often. They ready? That's okay?
Listen.
Okay. Lost your train again? Okay. When you get the train back, we'll give me a call.
Whistle.
There's a verse of scripture, I've got to put my finger on it, that talks about we don't rely upon the outward flesh, but we've got to be relying on the inner spirit of God to be strengthened. Now, where is that? We got the Galatians 5:19-20, the works of the flesh of these, through the fruit of the Spirit, love, peace, long suffering, all these the power. If ye war after the flesh, ye shall die, but if by the Spirit subdue the flesh, you shall live. I think in Galatians 5, you got something about this weakness thing. Now, let me go to Galatians 5, fruit of the Spirit, and Galatians 5. It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections of lust, verse 4:24. And walk in the flesh, in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill lust of the flesh, verse 16. So, the flesh is outward, it looks powerful, but the Holy Spirit of God who indwells the saved people is more powerful than any flesh that we could ever look at. So, that's interesting. Out of weakness, we're made strong. Humility and mildness and meekness is a trait, isn't it? Okay, Amazon, out of weakness, we're made strong. All right, let's look at the next one. Wax valiant in fight. I referred to that this morning. Wax valiant. What does valiant mean?
Brave,
all right. In fight. Who was it that waxed valiant in fight? How many mighty men did David have?
30.
And remember, you listen to one, two, or three. Who is one that we remember for particularly?
Uriah
the Hittite, one of the mighty men. David swept his wife and stole Bathsheba out from underneath him. But none of these different mighty men. One slew the Philistine and a lion and the midst of the cave, all these different things. Waxed valiant in fight. What about David the shepherd boy? Did he wax valiant in fight?
Yeah.
What did Saul ask him to do before he went out after Goliath?
Put on the armor.
Put on his own armor. Did David try it out?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he put it on, though. Oh, he didn't use it. What did he say after he put it on?
He never tested.
What had he tested?
The
sling.
His sling.
Yeah.
And he took the sling. Tammy's got something. They're writing it.
Just a second. I'm sorry. What? I was trying to get it open.
All right. Now, Dan's got something.
Dear Pastor White, hello to everyone and thank you for today's Bible study from Joe and Norma Fazio.
In California, let's wave to Joe and Norma in California. Wave, Joe. Thank you very much. Apparently, Joe and Norma can listen. See, some can and some can't. Some reason, something's wrong with our system. But we're not getting any calls, so maybe...
We didn't get a call.
Pardon me?
Yeah.
Well, what I mean is we're not getting any complaints or can't listen to you like we did on Thursday night. There was a call telling you about it. Any other things on this point out? We talked about the verse 34, we were on valiant and fight. Yeah. First of all, David said he's going to use the things he was accustomed to. What was David's faith when he went out to the giant? How tall was the giant, by the way?
Over 9 feet.
Over 9 feet.
9 foot 6.
Yeah, I think it was 6 cubits tall, wasn't it? 9 foot 6, something like that. And what did David say when? How did David say he was not afraid of this man? We quoted that earlier. Father, the lion. He was looking out and had this question. And so he was used to the sling. How many stones did he take?
Five.
With only one giant, why did he take five stones? Okay.
He had some brothers.
He had some brothers. At least four brothers, so he had in case they came after him.
High capacity clip.
Which Obama wants to take away from us. All right. So he was fearless. He waxed valiant in the fight. He didn't have a sword, but did he use a sword in the battle? Whose sword did he use?
After the battle. He used his own sword.
The last sword. He had his own sword. And what happened to that sword after the battle was over?
He took it and it went with the high priest.
Well, it was the high priest somewhere in the tabernacle. And that's when I went there to visit one time. Remember, David was fleeing from Saul. He got that sword and he was able to use it. Yeah, Anna?
The reason he had to five stones, and if you were going to have a duel with someone, which was essentially what he was doing, mm-hmm. you wouldn't just put one bullet in your gun.
That's true. So you only be sure. That you missed with one, he didn't have. But you know, with all the armor that he had, and the shield and the sword and the spear, he was well, and he had a sort of shield bearer too, Goliath did. How many days had he been doing this to Israel?
It was 40?
40 days. 40 days. He came out there, one man fights me. If I win, then you're my captives. If you win, then we're your captives. You're your captives. In other words, that was a deal. And I don't know what happened, but God delivered David and the armies of Israel from Goliath and the Philistines. Yeah, huh?
Do you suppose after David killed Goliath, they put a ban on slingshot? These stones are allowed?
Well, I'm sure Feinstein would have made some sort of motion of that effect.
No, if
you were still there.
I don't think it applies to combat.
Yeah, you're right.
You never know.
I don't know. All right, we're going to stop right here at this verse, and we'll pick up, Lord willing, turn to fight the armies of the aliens next week, Lord willing. But do you have any other comments or questions before we close?
Yeah.
Yes.
Isn't humility the opposite of arrogance or pride?
Right. Pride. The opposite of pride, the opposite of arrogance. That's good. It's humility. Devon?
I wish sometime we could talk more about humility in 1 Peter 5. Because this says humble yourself. So I wonder how you humble yourself.
Humble yourself.
Well, it's the opposite of being high-minded, as we mentioned that this morning, isn't it? The pride, egotistical.
Pastor, I wanted to mention Caleb as being a valiant warrior.
Yes.
When they went into Israel, he wanted that mountain.
Yes.
Yes.
How old was he when he went in there? That mountain?
I'm not sure.
80. He was 80 years old.
In his 80s.
I'm 84 right now, see? I'm as old as him.
And he was told that, all the...
I won't be
85. You've already been.
I'm 85. We'll be 86 in December.
Okay. No, he was told that all the giants that were in that land went up into that mountain.
You're right. That's good. Isn't it? But Caleb was fearless. He went right up there after him. Very good. Give me this mountain. Anna?
just stretching.
Oh, just stretching. Awesome. Oh, yeah, Sam Reed.
When you were talking about humility and being humble, it makes me think the Lord Jesus Christ himself in Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And then along with that, Pastor Wade, it makes me think in 1 Samuel and all these battles that go on. The Israelites, the Jewish people have always been in war, it seems. And in 1 Samuel 15, verse 20, and also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, the strength
of Israel. The strength of Israel, that's a good title. Any, oh good. Any other comments, of course, for Gloria?
Ephesians 3, Paul is making a prayer. I'm not sure if this was something you were talking about. Then he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
strengthened with power. That's good. Any other comments or questions before we close? Let us close with a word of prayer. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, we can discuss this Hebrews 11, all the different heroes of the faith. Lord, give us that strong faith in thy word to take care of us, regardless of pressures that may come and that do come, perhaps have already come in our lives. Help us to be valiant for the truth and for thy words. Keep us strong for thee. Keep us humble. Help us to rest upon thee and rely upon thee to take care of us. Power of thy Holy Spirit over our flesh, which is so weak, and the Spirit of God that thou hast given to us is so strong. Guide us, direct us, and go with us. Bring us back on Thursday evening for Bible study and prayer service. Continue to take care of us and use us to thy glory. We pray in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for coming.